Oh, praise God. Praise God.
Stick it in your pocket somewhere. You can clip it this way or this way.
All right.
God bless you.
Oh, need water.
I think it's a tall one.
Well, first, I thank you all so much for having me down. I live my whole life by trying to set an example of what I thought was right. But since I've been saved, and since the Lord's called me to preach, He's been setting an example through me of what He says is right. And it's not always easy. But He's done it right here. The pulpit. And I got to tell you, coming here is not just as much blessing for me, but as much conviction for me. And I cannot preach until I've basically confessed of what issues that I've had. Last year, I had my shoulder operated on, and the Lord was so gracious to me, more than you can imagine. I should have had pain for 3 months. There was no pain. I should have fell behind in everything I had, and I didn't. But I cheated God. I thought I was doing what was right, and I withheld my ties from Him, that because I thought I was scared that I wasn't going to have enough money to make it because I was out of work for 3 months. And come the turn of the year, I didn't understand it until I was down here. I got a bill from the IRS, which is to the exact penny of what I withheld from God. And I'm saying this, I'm not trying to make myself this big huge person, because I'm as small as the speck of dirt I'm standing on. But God used me as an example, and I've had to do this. I'm supposed to do this before I can preach. It's part of my life. I've accepted it. And you know, it's been real. Being here has been real, and I just want to be real to you. And whenever you think that you can take your life in control because you think you know better, and because you've got some hard times coming, think again, because it's to the penny of what I cheated Him. And I've repented. I've asked the Lord to forgive me, and I'll never be able to I'm asking Him to be able to repay it back, but it's to the penny. Brother Blue and everybody that's been, it's 100% correct. He'll get it back. And I'm just being real with you. Don't do it. Because it's got nothing to do with the money. It's got to do with being out of the will of God and your Father. Now, I can go along. So anyway, I'm going to, before we get into any scripture, I got a story to tell you. This is a true story. This newsman was talking to a man that was in D-Day, stormed the beaches of Normandy, and he was questioning the guy of how did you make it through the beaches of Normandy? How did you survive? And the soldier said, well, he said, the general. And the news guy said, the general? He says, yeah. He says, well, did he save your life? And he says, no. He says, well, we were on this boat still before we got off. He said, the general said that you got to believe. You got to believe in your orders. He says, you're going to believe that you're going to take the bunkers and that you're going to take the beaches once you land. He says, you need to believe in what you're doing. And the news guy just can't grasp that. He said, I just don't understand. That he's just telling you this. And, you know, just before he got off the boat, the boat got hit, and the general's last breath said that you got to believe that you're going to live. But if you don't, you're going to die to believe. And, you know, the reporter still couldn't grasp that. But the soldier said, I believed in the orders. And I believed in the general that gave him the orders. He had faith in what the general told him to do. And, you know, and I think I already said that, but in the general's last breath, he says, before you get off the boat, believe that you're not going to die, but if you die, die to believe. And again, the soldier believed in the orders and obeyed his command. You know, we as Christians just need to obey and listen to the commands which we were given. And the commander, General Jesus. And I'm not being, I hope I'm not being abrasive saying that. I'm not trying to call him anything but what he is. But he is in charge. And you know, in the Bible, like Peter getting out of the boat, a lot in the Bible, the boat is the church. The boat is the unity of the church. You know, make sure you believe in his orders before you step off the boat. You know, I came down here. I came down here knowing with what God wanted me to preach. It's all printed, and I'm only doing this to. And after the first morning, because of my lack of, I'm not allowed to preach this. And I'll tell you, it's been one of the hardest things for me to do is not to go to this and just preach what I already have, and it goes along with what you all been preaching. And I'm like, Lord, what do I do? And I've gone back to the hotel, and I'm like, Lord, what do I do? And he started staring me in a direction. And then the next day, the next preacher preached on it. I'm going, Lord, what do I do? I don't know what to do. And he finally said, it's what I've been waiting for. So he brought me to this. Many times, 113 times in the Bible, verily is repeated. Verily, verily. And, you know, I believe many preachers here throughout this whole meeting have had some of the same topic, maybe different parts of the Bible, but the same topic. And verily, verily means truly or certainly. And in the Bible, it means pay attention. I want you to hear it. Repetitious. So now I'm going to read backwards something, and it just came to my head when I was doing this. And so in this mission conference, anyway, the Lord in this conference has certainly got our attention, and if not, he truly wants you to. Certainly and truly wants us to get our attention. You know, Brother Don, when he was preaching the other day, he just hit amazingly on what we're supposed to do for the missionaries. Be there for the missionaries. Help the missionaries. Do whatever we can to support the missionaries. And that was part of where I was headed, you know. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know where to go. And again, I don't want you to feel bad for me. Probably the children over there know more about this precious book than I do. But all I do know is one thing, in the truth that the Lord has brought into my life, and he hasn't failed me since. Amen. And I just had to trust into him and where I was going, and I was scared. I'm just being real. I'm just trying to be real to you. I was out of my comfort zone. I was out of my comfort zone. So we're going to, if you can open your Bibles into Matthew 16, 24. I don't have a whole lot of scripture tonight. It's a very small piece. It's a little pebble that he's given me that would probably grow for the rest of my life of understanding, but it's just begun. And we all know this verse. It's been said many times, and it says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And I'm gonna go into prayer. And Lord, please, Lord, I just want to be obedient to you, Lord. I just want to be what I'm supposed to be, and I'm nothing, Lord. I want you to bless this word. Just allow me to tell them what you've told me, Lord. I just want to be real with them, Lord. Lord, I have this fire and I have all that I am, but it's nothing without your word, and it's nothing without who you are through me, Lord. And please just bless the hearts, Lord, and please open the hearts to hear what I have to say, because I know, Lord, that this is what you want me to say. And Lord, just speak to everybody's heart and strengthen me, Lord, to be able to do what I need to do, and just take me out of the picture, though, Lord. And Lord, we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What do we hold? You know, this is a powerful statement. You know, the missionaries need help. And like I said before when I was here, they need help holding, they need rope holders. They need help to hold everything that they have. They need financial holders. They need prayer holders. They need support holders. They just need a hold. And if you look it up, a hold itself, for my term, because I know it is in a boat, and it's a place to store items, and a place to get out of the water, a place to fare a storm, a place to find comfort when things get bad, when things get hard, unsettled, and difficult. But we also need a holder of something else. And I want to give you another description before I give you a couple more. Is they beat Jesus so hard, his sweat glands were full of blood. So he sweat blood, he cried blood. What do you think Jesus was saying under his breath? You know, I want to believe just myself before I even go into the scripture that he was just meditating to his Father. And he was saying, "Father, Father, help me. Help me get through this. Help me complete your mission, your orders. To fill your orders." And Jesus, the greatest missionary in the world, believed in his orders and where they came from. And if you want to go to Psalms 22, I'm going to start in 10. "I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly." I want you to remember 11. "Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have besought me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue is cleaved to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. And in 19, remember this, but be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, hast thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. That's a prophecy. And again, I'm hoping I get this all right. I've been sitting in the hotel room pounding my head back and forth on this, and I'm still in homiletics back home. The Lord, everything I'm telling you is what the Lord steered me through. So this is a prophecy of Jesus praying throughout the time of Him going to the cross. And you know, He's praying to His Father to give Him help, to strengthen Him, to finish the duties and the commands that He was brought here to do. And again, I want to believe, and that's just me, that the God of gods, the Lord of lords, allowed a soldier to lay a weapon on someone's back. And again, we're going to go to... Sorry to jump you around. I should have told you that to begin with. We're going to go to Matthew 27:32. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by the name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And you know, I looked up. I've been taught to look up and look through the books to match and see what's correct and what's not, to make sure, because sometimes it's said here but nowhere else in the Bible or here, and it says it in every book, that Simon bore Jesus' cross. And you know, I believe in his prayer on the way up through there, his prayer to his Father, he says, Father, I need the help. I can't in the flesh, without calling all the help in, I can't do this, Father. And his Father answered. And as he was going out through, the soldier laid his weapon on the man's shoulder, Simon's shoulder, and told him to bear Jesus' cross. And Simon is a man, a Jew man, Jewish man, who, from what I can grasp, was definitely not a believer. He was not a believer of the Lord or Jesus. He was still believing in the Old Testament and the old ways of what the Jews believed in. And as I'm jumping ahead of myself, you know, I believe these missionaries nowadays, I believe they need a Simon. You know, every missionary I talked to and spoke to, that all their needs and everything that they've asked for, I believe wholeheartedly, as the Bible tells you right here, that the missionary needs another person with them, or the missionary needs a helper. You know, again, I'm only going by scriptural. I'm only going by what the Lord showed me here that day. And the Lord is going to be put on the cross his last day here as a missionary. And he's headed out of the city. And here's this Simon, just a regular man, walking into the city of no belief. And he turns this man's life around. His life forever will be changed. You know, God came through. God came through and answered Jesus' prayers and gave him a helper. And you know, And on the same of listening to orders, even though Simon was not, you know, part of the Bible, he listened to his orders and did what he was told, and he bore the cross, and again the Lord came through to allow Jesus to make it to his destination. Simon carried the cross, a man who was at the wrong place at the wrong time. Or should I say, a man at the right place at the right time. If I stay to my notes, I'll do okay. I get a little lost when I jump around. God ordains our life from the beginning to the middle and to the end. And that does not mean from prayer, from care, from holding the cross, that He may not change what our lives are supposed to be. I know from the beginning He's seen the beginning to the end, but that doesn't mean that He can't change His mind along the way and say, you know what, I think you'd be better off going to do this, or you'd be better off to go do that. I believe you can pray for that. He's omniscient. He's everything. I believe we can pray for things. And I know that we all have a destiny. We all have a, as far as what the Lord wants for our lives, we all have a job, and we all need to do those jobs. But that doesn't mean that we can pray ourselves into a job. I firmly believe it. You know, these missionaries, if they had a person that would help not just bear their own cross, because we as Christians, that's, you know, you take up your cross, you're a Christian. You've taken up the cross. That's our job. That doesn't, and I'm not saying that you can't use this scripture to, as a missionary, but bearing the cross, that's our job anyway. As a Christian, that's what we're supposed to do. Live our life, bear the cross, live for Jesus. Well, how about, I mean, that's, you know, I know it's hard. And it is, you know, there's some days that it's hard, but you know what? Why can't we hold another one? You know? We're holding ours up, okay, we're getting to work fine, we're going here fine, why can't we go help hold somebody else's cross up? You know, as a single cross, and this is kind of how I wanted to put it, as a single cross, you know, standing, if you tried pulling on it to lift something, you'd probably tip it over. But if you put the two crosses together, you could probably lift a car. And I'm just trying to speak in you know, leverage in literal terms, you know. You know, I know in all my heart of what I'm supposed to tell you. I know in all my heart He steered me in the direction that I'm going. And I even failed on, you know, I just started Faith Promise with what the Lord told me to do this year. But I didn't even realize that the day after I got saved, the Lord put on my heart to support missionaries. I didn't realize it until this meeting. I knew I had a purpose, but I didn't know what that purpose was. I didn't know what it was truly about. And you know, when the Lord sent Brooks, and I got saved,
amen.
The next day, I don't need a paper for that. The next day was a long day of a lot of things put on my heart. It was an overflow. And the Lord said, you're going to listen. You're going to do what I tell you. And He says, whatever that man needs, whatever that man needs, you do. You feed him. You help him. You protect him to the end of your life. I didn't understand it, but I knew it was my destiny at that point of time. And at this point of time now, I don't understand why until I've read this, until the Lord showed me this. And I'm speaking truthfully. If right now, if it took between one or the other, and there was a decision to be made for Brooks and me to hang on the cross,
amen,
my job is to be nailed up. I don't understand it. I don't have to. And from that day, I've done everything that's needed to be done for him. And it's been a pleasure beyond pleasure of my life.
Amen.
It's been a pleasure that I can't even explain to you. And it's only because I'm in the will of God. And again, I've never understood it until now. When Simon came down and bore Jesus' cross, he bore it for him to help him get that much further, that much farther. Amen. And you know,
Amen.
This is, again, a good preacher could spread this wide open and preach on this probably for the rest of his life. I'm not that knowledgeable yet. And again, I'm not looking for pity. But there's many things here. And I'm trying to figure out why did it say his sons? Why did it say Simon's sons? And it doesn't say it anywhere else in the book. Simon's sons, again, their name here is in Mark. You don't have to turn there. It's the father of Alexander and Rufus. Alexander and Rufus were living today. Simon was living in the ways of yesterday. Alexander and Rufus were Christians. How much you want to bet? How much you want to bet night after night they were on their beds praying that their father would get saved? Again, it doesn't say that here, but this is what I want to believe in my heart, what the Lord's put on my heart. How much you want to believe that his children wasn't sitting there night after night praying for Simon to get saved? And it just so happens that Simon had to be coming into the city. Simon was walking past Jesus as he was falling to the ground, trying to hold the cross. And then he was picked to bear his cross. Now what do you think Simon, when he got to look down and pick up the cross and look at Jesus' eyes and his face, and he saw a man that's going to be crucified and had no guilt in his eyes? He had no foul look on his face. He was going with ease, just trying to bear the cross. On the way up, what do you think was going through Simon's head? As he got up there and they nailed Jesus to the cross. And he says, "Father, they know not what they do." What do you think was going on in Simon's head? This man is being nailed to the cross. He has no guilt in his eyes. And he still has pity on all of us. Simon got saved, I believe. I believe Simon got saved. Amen. On the way out, on the way to the cross, the greatest missionary in the world, with a helper.
Yes, sir.
With a helper. Saved one more man. One more. That's what I want to believe. Again, it doesn't say it anywhere in the Bible. And you know, what do we hold? We can look at this whole Bible. There's so many things we can say we hold. We hold His words. We hold His command. We hold the belief. But we hold life. Life itself. You know, it's like Brother Whittemore talks about getting the loaves. And that's our life. And it comes down in here. It's just a glimpse away. It comes down and it's gone. What do we hold? And it's just the belief in what the Lord has done for us, what the Lord has told us to do, the belief in the faith, the belief in what He's done for us. And I truly believe with all my heart that somebody prayed me to Brooks. Somebody prayed to give him a helper. And I'm a bear, whatever they call it. You can call it whatever you want. Somebody prayed. Somebody prayed to God to give that man a helper.
Amen.
I know it with all my heart. And after meeting his parents, I can probably figure out where it's coming from.
Yeah.
You can pray to give him a helper.
Yes, sir.
It's in the Bible. It's scriptural. We don't have a problem holding our own cross. We complain about it, but we don't have a problem with it. We can take up some more weight. And I know this praying. I know this financially. I know everybody has spoken on every single piece of support but one. Pray for the missionaries to have someone that will help hold their cross.
Amen.
If you've got to go to the war field and put that mission... The missionary was called. He was called there to spread the word of God. Pray for someone to go there and help them. Put them in a wheelbarrow. Get them across the finish line. Whatever it takes, whatever it needs to be done. It doesn't matter. Our lives don't matter. Here. It's just a... What do you want to hold? What do you want to hold? I'm just being real, and that's what I have. It was a little piece that was left. I love it. The Lord hates leftovers, but I love them. I'm not saying what the Lord gave me is a leftover, but it was just a little tiny grasp of a pebble, and I'll tell you, I have stamped some water for that little piece of pebble. I've been night, morning. Praise the Lord, I didn't have to pay for all that hot water. I just didn't know what to do. I'm being real. I was scared. I'm like, what am I going to preach? It'd be like stealing his money if I preached that sermon I had. It wasn't what I was supposed to preach. I could have. I had three more here. Could have preached them, been some comfortable. He wouldn't let me. But I'm grateful for the pebble that he gave me, and I'm very grateful. And just remember what you hold. You know, we all take it for granted. We all take things for granted. For all of you that have been in church, and I'm just being real, for all of you that have been in church and had the Lord your whole life.
Amen.
It's gone just like that. You could get hit by a car tomorrow. Anything can happen. What do you want to spend your time here as? What do you want to hold while you're here? So that's what I got, preacher.
I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's bow our heads. Sister King, just come play through a verse or two of a song. Maybe God spoke to your heart through the man of God's message tonight. If he did, you'd be obedient. While Sister King plays for us.